All right, what's up? How you guys doing? Good morning. All right, is everybody awake? We get the lights on and off. Well, my name is Claude, and this is my wife, Rebecca, down here in the blue sweater, this hot blonde right there in the front. And thank you, ma'am. And we've been married about 4.5 years, and we've been traveling for about 3.5. I'm from Oklahoma, and thank you. And, you know, I realized that I spent 13 years of my Christian life really very clueless as to the heart of why God had put me here. And I just felt like I was running in the dark. And, you know, it's possible to go to a school like Taylor or Wheaton and be very religious, knowledgeable of the scriptures like the Pharisees, but be very out of sync for the very purpose why God's put you here. And something happened to me in high school. It's a great illustration of that. And we used to play this game, my friends and I, every year called Capture the Flag. Any of you guys ever play that? Yeah, it was a bunch of guys. All right, a few people. You know, you go out in the woods and you kind of run around in the dark. And so just to kind of help you get this illustration of what happened to me, I even drew it out, okay, so I got a little graph to go along with it. I'm running through the woods, and it's pitch black, and I'm just kind of innocently running away, you know, full speed. And all of a sudden, I step off into nothing, and it's like this 4-foot drop. I didn't even see it coming. And so as I'm falling forward, this barbed wire fence catches my neck right here, no kidding, and it flips me backward. And I land on my back, you know, wind knocked out of me, thinking, oh my gosh, I hope the girls didn't see that, you know what I'm saying? So there I am. And so I get up, okay, and it's like a million acres of woods, all right, Oklahoma, right? And I look around, and my friends are gone, and I realize, man, I'm totally lost out here in the woods. And I'm thinking, man, you know, if I start walking, I'm just going to get farther lost, and they're going to find my bones next year when we play or something like that. And so finally, my eyes adjust to the darkness, and I see in the distance our campfire. And it's small, but I see it, and I think, man, whew, I'm safe. All I've got to do is make my way toward this destination, and I've got kind of this North Star to lead me out of the woods. And Christian life has a lot of parallels. I am, you know, I grew up in church joking with my friends, like, why doesn't our pastor just baptize people and hold them under and send them to heaven right now? You know what I'm saying? Why does he even waste time bringing them up? Let's just get them there. Oh, it's so they can tithe. That's why. No, there's a reason why your pastor brings you up out of the water. It's because God has something here for you to do. And the same thing that I needed to get me out of the woods was the same thing I needed for my Christian life. And that was a North Star, something God-centered, something eternal, something that was fixed in the heavens that I could plan my life toward and give all of my ambitions and talents toward. And what's awesome is God's laid out very clearly His North Star, and this one agenda that He has, and why He's put you here on the planet. And we're going to look at it very quickly this morning, and we're just going to kind of step back and see the whole forest, and we're just going to look at this big picture purpose of God and why He's put you here. And so if you got a Bible, you can kind of follow along. If you got one of those bookmarks, it's got a lot of the verses on it. So if you just want to tuck it in your Bible and just kind of soak this in, then that's fine. But we're going to look at the big picture of what God's doing. Let me pray for us real quick before we get into His Word. Can I do that? Father, thank You for these students. And Lord, You've created them each very unique, special in Your sight. Lord, You formed them even before the foundations of the world. And You put them here in 2003 for a very unique and a very crucial purpose. And so I pray, God, this morning as we look at Your Word, would You lift out this North Star, and I pray that it would shine so brightly this morning that it would catch up the affections of some of these students in a way that ruins them for anything else. And so would You do that by Your Spirit, God? We invite You to speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. And we pray these things for Your glory. And in Your Son's name, amen. Well, this story, this theme, and this thing that God's doing is so central to this book that we can actually just say that it's a theme. In fact, you're going to see this morning that this book that you hold is one book. It has one story from Genesis, where it begins, all the way to Revelation. That's how central this is to God's Word. And so his story starts, and it really, all of it is kind of begins in Genesis. And it starts like this. God creates two people on the planet, Adam and Eve, and he tells them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. I want you to populate the earth with people that worship me. Now, you know Adam and Eve didn't do that. They sin. They get kicked out of the garden. God, later on, generations later, he floods the earth and he starts over with another God-fearing man, Noah. And as soon as Noah and his family step off the ark, look what God says to him again. He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. I want this worldwide worshiping church. Noah's generations disobeyed also. When we come to Genesis 10 and 11, here's what we find them doing. They say, come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and what? Not be scattered over the face of the earth. We don't want to fill the earth. We're going to stay right here with our little tower and our little people. And so God doesn't get angry, all right? And he doesn't like flick them into the sun or anything. But he does something very purposeful right here at the Tower of Babel. This is huge to our theme and our story. What he does is he scatters them from there over all the earth. And you guys remember how he creates all these languages in one day at the Tower of Babel. And really all that means is all the diversity of the earth, all these languages, colors, ethnicities, nations that we have today came from these first 70. All the diversity of the earth is God's idea. And it's God's creation. And he doesn't kind of love them in some kind of pecking order, like Americans are kind of up here and, you know, other Hispanics or whatever are down here. Man, God loves all of them, and he still wants to draw people from every one of these nations he's created to be with him in heaven. And here's how he decided to do it. He said, I'm going to make one nation now of my own that will be my missionary nation to reach all these others I've created. And he's going to start, it's kind of like this missionary family that God is going to adopt and start. And he's going to start this family through one person, Abraham. And that's where we get to Genesis 12. And this is kind of crucial to our story, these three verses. Because God says this to Abraham. He says, now leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I'm separating you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm separating you to be a nation of my own. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. And what I'm talking about is God saying, listen, you moon worshiper, I'm going to have a personal relationship with you. And I'm going to open up salvation to you. And the gospel is going to come to you. But Abraham, I want you to hear this very clearly. You're not the final destination of this blessing. The reason I'm blessing you is so that you will be a blessing. And that you'll pass it on. Because Abraham, remember all those nations that I just created at the Tower of Babel? All of them, all nations on the earth are going to be blessed through you. And God promises to do it. So tuck that away, because you know God has this crazy thing about keeping all his promises. And he's promised to reach all the nations, but Abraham, I've promised to do it through you. And that's why you have to leave. And the gospel has the authority to interrupt the course of Abraham's life. Because it's got a very important destination that it's headed to. All the nations of the earth. It's kind of like, have you guys ever seen, you know, when someone runs the Olympic torch through a city or through a state, you know, it'll pass through whole continents and somebody will run with it a few miles and then she passes it on to the next person and he runs with it a few miles or whatever. And it's like a huge responsibility to get to carry the Olympic torch. I don't know many people that have done it. You know, you got to sign a lot of waivers and papers and stuff like that before you do. You don't want to like drop it and kick it on TV or something stupid like that, because everyone's watching. It's a huge responsibility. There's people that are waiting on it. You know, you can't get like some Jack Black kind of guy that tries to take it home and sell it on eBay. You know, you get in a lot of trouble for stuff like that. Because the Olympic torch is a huge responsibility to carry, and it's got a very important destination. And guys, this gospel is no different. this gospel has come to you because it's on its way to somebody else. And this gospel has come to you because it's on its way to the ends of the earth. Because that's God's promised destination for it. This responsibility, guys, wasn't just for Abraham. It was for everyone in this missionary family that God's starting. Look at how the family unfolds physically. Look what God says to Abraham's son Isaac. He says, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. That's where it's headed. Hey, Jacob, remember your father Isaac and his father Abraham, your grandfather? Well, welcome to the family, son. Here's what our family's all about. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, but all peoples, all nations on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Because we're a missionary family. We're a missionary nation with a purpose. And the Bible says if you're a believer here this morning, which I believe many of you, most of you probably are, that you've been adopted into this family. You've been grafted in. And you become heirs to Abraham according to the promise. But what you've inherited when you got into this family, you inherited all the promises of God and all the blessings of salvation. But guess what you also inherited when you got into this family? This responsibility that goes along with it. There's no civilians in this army. Everyone who's a believer has the responsibility for the evangelization of the world. There's not like this special group of kind of called people that got a liver quiver at camp when they were 14. And they're supposed to go do it. No. We're all enlisted. There's draft dodgers, but there's no civilians. In fact, the rest of this Old Testament, the rest of your Bible, we can see that a lot of these major stories gravitate toward this one North Star of God keeping this promise to bless all the nations of the earth with the gospel. And some of the major things we can look at, you're probably real familiar with. One of them is just like the Ten Commandments. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, look what Moses says to the people right after he reads them the law. He turns to them and he says, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. Now, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and your understanding to the nations. And he knew God's heart, and he knew that these other nations were going to be watching their lives because their behavior was either going to validate or invalidate this gospel they claim to believe. And here's what happens is God brings internationals to your communities, non-believers, and it's the first time they get to ever see Christians. You know, not what they've seen on TV, but they get to watch real, you know, WWJD bracelet-wearing Christians. How else would you know, right? And then they see what Christians do on the weekends, and what Christian guys do with their girlfriends, and what Christian girls wear, and they see what they watch on TV, and they hear their language, and they say, you know what? No thanks. I'll stick with Allah. I mean, that's not a changed life. I'll stick with Hinduism. And God gave us the Ten Commandments because He's trying to prepare us to be a holy church and a holy people in the sight of the nations and the lost that He wants to reach through you. And God's not so much worried about your reputation as He is His and His name. Another thing that God would use would just be the miracles that He did throughout the Old Testament. Like this story, David and Goliath. You know, I grew up thinking my coach made this story up just to get us out on the field before the big team. But it was actually in there, you know, 1 Samuel. And what I found out later is this story isn't so much about David and Goliath as it is about God and the other nations that are watching this thing going on. And they're looking and they're like, man, Goliath is just kind of ripping on the God of Israel for months. Meanwhile, Israel's sitting around with their hands in their pockets like, man, I ain't going out to fight that dude. He's huge. And so finally, David says, you know what? This is a great opportunity for God to make Himself known and to show Himself as real in the sight of the world that's watching. And so look at what this little 13-year-old says when he runs out to fight Goliath. I think this is awesome. His voice is probably cracking, you know, and all that stuff. But he says this right to Goliath's face. He says, this day I will strike you down. And then he does all kinds of other trash talking here. Some about the birds eating your flesh and all this stuff. It's just gross, so I left it out, okay? So we're in chapel, you know. But here's why. Goliath, here's why I'm going to strike you down. It's because the whole world is going to know that there's a God in Israel when I do. And they did. And God killed Goliath for God's sake, not for David's. But he did it for his name's sake among the nations that he wanted to reach and that were watching. And this made like CNN headlines. Okay? So did the parting of the Red Sea. So did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel in the lion's den. All of them, God uses these stories to draw in these nations. You know what the other nations did when they saw this? They took their wooden idols and they punted them. And they became worshipers of the true God. David, he kind of logs this away, God's heart for the world. Makes a little sticky note. That's important. And when he writes the Psalms, he's just trying to remind his people through these songs that they would sing, that don't forget, you're a missionary family. You're a missionary nation with a responsibility. Psalm 67 says this, and I love this because most Christians know this. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Now, why do you think most people know that verse? It has to do with, number one, me. God bless me. And now, here's the deal. David's not asking God to bless him just so that he can have this nice, safe, comfortable life, 28 worship CDs, the new David Crowder, some cool clothes. He knows he's not the final destination of this grace that he's asking for. He's saying, God, show grace and blessing to me because of verse 2, the second part of his sentence, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. Guys, this blessing and this gospel has come to you because it's on its way to the ends of the earth through you. These degrees and talents and abilities and this intellect that you have, this creativity that he's given each of you, he's blessed you not just for you alone, but it has a worldwide responsibility attached to it. And here's what God said, tells his people through Isaiah, very simply. He says this, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant just to restore the tribes of Jacob. That's still your own people. It's like my boy Austin and Grant down here. It's too easy for us to reach out to white, Caucasian, English-speaking people, right? That's easy. And if you got a heart for Indiana, that's awesome. And he's like, if you got a heart for to see all of America reached with the gospel, that's incredible, but it's 5% of my heart. Because it's only 5% of the population of the world. And my purpose for you is this, that you would live for a bigger vision and a bigger purpose with your life. And because I will also make you a light to all the other nations, the Gentiles, so that you might bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Are you starting to see this thing that God's doing? He's saying it's bigger than just you. Because I've promised to reach all the nations. Now, okay, listen up. I'm going to be real authentic, transparent moment right here. I'm not the greatest person at loving these people off in China that I've never seen, never met. And when I see the commercials and kids starving or whatever, I don't start crying. And I'm, you know, I might be really cold-hearted. Anybody else in here like that? Okay, just me, once again. But I'm not the greatest at loving these people, okay? But here's what it's about, all right? And I want you to hear this. It's not so much about this horizontal love for people as it is primarily about this vertical love for God and the things that God loves, which happens to be those people. And when the vertical love grows, the horizontal shows up. Here, it's like this, guys. When I met Rebecca and we started dating, I started going places and doing things that I didn't normally do, all right? And that's what guys do. Movies like Sleepless in Seattle and Sweet Home Alabama start kind of making it on your regular rotation somehow. You know, I thought Bath and Body Works sold like plumbing supplies until we met, you know? Now I've got like my own favorite scent, you know, Pearberry, and I'm totally a goner, all right? But here's the deal. As I began to get to know her, and I just kind of got to know her heart, I began to enjoy the things that she enjoyed. And that's a natural part of relationships. When you fall in love with somebody, you begin to love the things that they love. And so the question is, do you know God and his heart well enough And are you beginning to love Him in such a way that you begin to love the things that He loves with His life? And that you begin to say, man, what can I do with my life that might bring God joy? Because here's the other deal, girls, and I'll let you in on a little secret. Guys, when they get married, this is a temptation for them. They'll take the things that they didn't get when they were a bachelor and try to pass them off as gifts for their wife later on. For her birthday, it's like the big screen TV, you know, so she can watch Trading Spaces and see all the colors. You know it's for him and his boys and the PlayStation 2, okay? So guys, you know, they're not fooled, all right? They caught on. You guys seen the Simpsons episode where Homer tries to buy the bowling ball for Marge? He gets his name engraved in it. I mean, he's an idiot. She knows, okay? She knows, Phyllis. Don't try to do that. But here's the deal. Christians are just a lot more smooth at things with their life, and they'll just try to take the things that they want to do and their dreams and pass them off as some kind of ministry to the Lord. And guys, He is not fooled. He searches to the depths and the motivations of everyone's heart. And I just can't, somehow I don't think Jesus would have been real impressed if the disciples would have said, yeah, that's cool, and slapped an ichthus on the back of their fishing boat and kept on fishing. There's something about your agenda that has to die. Because this gospel has the authority to interrupt the course of your life. Jesus put it like this. He said, the Son can do nothing of Himself and of His own agenda. He can only do what He sees the Father doing. And so Jesus saw that the Father had made this promise to reach all the nations. In His life in the New Testament, 2/3 of His major miracles are done toward Gentiles, the nations, not His own people. And He's modeling for the disciples God's heart for the world. The disciples ask Jesus this question later in Matthew 24. They say, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? When will the end come? And you don't got to take eschatology class or whatever, because Jesus answered them very clearly about when the end will come. In verse 14, He gathers them together, and here's what He says. Guys, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come. Because everything in history hangs on this promise and this agenda that God has to reach the nations. That's why you can live your life radically based on this. It's because Jesus said this, not me, and Jesus never lies. And you can sign up with your life. Guys like Paul, they weren't like these super spiritual Christians. They just said, man, if that's what God's doing, I'll make that my heart also. He said this, I've always made up my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so I wouldn't be building on someone else's foundation. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that kind of stuff out. He just said the only way to reach all nations is somebody's got to go to all nations. We can't keep going to the safe ones and the close ones. Somebody's got to pioneer and go to all of them. And by the way, this is what the world looks like right now. This is known as the 1040 window. These are the 62 least reached countries of the planet, where there's about 2.4 billion people that have no access to this book that we're talking about this morning. 3,000 languages here that don't have a single page of Scripture translated into their language still today. 2.4 billion people would wrap around the planet 25 times in a single file line. China is 1.3 billion people. That means if you take everyone in South America, Canada, Africa, and Europe and cram them into America, that's China. 1.3 billion people. 1.2 million or billion unreached with the gospel. China makes up 25% of the lost people on planet Earth. And that's just China. This is the most unreached area right now in the world. And here's what God has put you here on the planet for. It's to bring the gospel to each one of these people groups. Here's what He says about why you're a believer here this morning. Galatians says that He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham in the beginning might come to the Gentiles, the nations, through Christ Jesus. This gospel has come to you because it's on its way to China and to Indonesia and to India and to Turkey. And here's the awesome thing about our story. When we get to the end, God keeps His promise. We find this scene in heaven in the future that John records for us. And this is the worship going on before the throne. And what's awesome is he says there's going to be people there, a multitude that no one can count. But there's going to be representatives from every, not most, not some, but from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, worshiping before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And guys, heaven is going to be this multicultural block party for all eternity. Okay? The overheads aren't going to be in English. Some of you guys are going to be the minority like me for the first time. You just need to dial into that idea that God is putting together this mosaic of peoples and languages and cultures and ethnicities and nations. And we're going to be there worshiping, unified under the banner of this one true God for all eternity. And that's what He's putting together. And that's the North Star of everything that He's working toward. And He's put you here on the planet this morning because He's given you one life and one chapter that you get to write in this story. And everyone writes a chapter for something. And He's put you here that you might be a part of bringing one of these languages, one of these nations, to the worship service as your contribution to heaven, to eternity. Man, that's something worth living for, maybe even dying for. Everyone is enlisted, okay? Just like the military, not everybody flies planes. Some people drive tanks. Some people have support roles. I want to show you just kind of five habits of what's called a world Christian. That's somebody who's just saying, man, I'm going to live my life as a means to this end. And they're real easy. First one is this one. Begin to pray daily for the world. I'm the worst at this one, okay? This is the one I'm trying to grow in. And for me to do it, you know, I don't roll out of bed and just like pray for hours like most of you guys probably do. But for me to do this, I got to be real structured at it. A great resource I got is this book. It's called Operation World. Some smart guy put this together, and it's every country on the planet and their spiritual needs and how you can pray for them. And it's alphabetized even, okay? And what's the sad thing is there's only like a couple of thousand copies of this in print. You can't find it at a Christian bookstore. It's not a hot seller because Christians aren't praying for the world. Man, begin to get some resources. By the way, there's a guy downstairs. This sells for 20 bucks. He's selling them for $6 downstairs. I think every believer should get a copy of this. Another thing that you can do is get a map, some other stuff like that, and learn to pray for the world. What we do, by the way, back that up real quick. What I do is, lately we've just been writing out some information on a prayer card and, like 10 things about Laos. And I was an idiot. I didn't know anything about Laos. Now I know there's 5 million people, 1.8% Christian. And so when we get together for lunch, my cheeseburger doesn't need prayer. Laos does. And so we pray for 2 minutes for Laos, okay? It's not that big a deal, but I'm trying to grow this habit of praying for the world. Next thing you can do is this one. Begin to reach out to internationals, especially international students. God has brought the nations to our doorstep here in America, and Christians still aren't reaching out to them. And if you catch some international students, they're non-Christians, what's so strategic about them is God's going to, a lot of them are going to go back to their countries, and they will be the leaders. They will set the agendas around our planet. So begin to welcome the internationals that God's brought here. Third thing you can do is this one. Let's just go. And I think every Christian should go and spend one summer cross-culturally and go on a meaningful short-term mission trip with one summer. It travel is so easy and inexpensive now. Everybody can do that. And so plan on spending one of your summers before you graduate and go off into the little Disneyland of the universe called America and the American dream. Unplug from the Matrix one summer and go see what reality is really like on planet Earth for the rest of these people before you give your lives to whatever you give it to. Okay? Last thing is this. Just to get educated and get informed about God's heart for the world. God can't lead you based on facts that you don't know. So we've set up a book table out here with some books. This is a great one that God really used to change my life. It's called Unveiled at Last, and he unveils this theme from Genesis to Revelation, just like we looked at this morning, way better than I do. The guy downstairs, he's got all these books, and they're like super cheap. In fact, I'm going to go buy books from him downstairs when we get through, all right? So go check out some of those resources and say, man, I'm going to try to get informed about this if this is God's heart. When we were, by the way, we have a website, thetravelingteam.org. It's about 600 pages deep, full of articles, Bible studies, videos, just to help you grow as this world Christian. Just saying, man, if this is God's heart, I'm going to align my life with it. There's a 12-lesson Bible study that you can go through just on how to apply this stuff to your life. And then today, after chapel, we've got a sign-up sheet that each of us do. It's on our table right out these doors in the upper level. And we're going to be meeting with people from like 12 to 3, and we have a sign-up sheet for that. And we're just going to be walking people through what it looks like to begin to impact your campus and the world for Christ. And we want to give you resources, CDs, materials to kind of help you grow in that if you're serious about growing in that. Okay? So there's a sign-up sheet right out there. When we were in a campus in South Carolina, I met with this student. His name is Nathan. He is a freshman. Any freshmen here? All right. They're kind of... Well, listen to this. Nathan, not your normal freshman, okay? I sit down with him, and he's like, I'm not signing up for anything. I'm like, I'm not trying to sign you up for anything. And they're like, all right. And he writes in his email for me, and it's CEO at Fusion Trade or whatever. And I'm like, what's CEO? And he goes, oh, I'm the CEO of this company I started when I was in high school. I sell print cartridges on the internet. And I'm like, well, dude, what are you, like Doogie Howser? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, yeah, you know. And so he's telling me about his company, and we're talking, and then he's like, you know, Claude, I thought about going overseas with one of my summers, but I thought, wait, if I leave, what's going to happen to my company? Because I've worked hard to build it, and it's important to me. I feel like God's blessed it. And we're kind of talking about those options, and finally I said, Nathan, can I just tell you something? He's like, yeah. And I said, man, there's always going to be somebody to sell print cartridges on the internet. Why don't you give your life to the things that other people can't and won't do in this world? And Nathan emailed me a few weeks after that, and he just said, man, I thought about what you said, and I've committed to spending 2 months overseas this summer. You know how Nathan paid for his trip? He sold his company. He just sold it. He found a greater passion and God's purpose for him here. And the Bible says this, that Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, was raised again. And if this is God's agenda, that's a big enough reason for us to make it ours. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these students. God, there's so much potential in this room for your kingdom. Again, I know with this, the WOW week that's coming up, there's some students here that are saying, man, that the missions kind of stuff just isn't for me. God, I pray that you begin to change some hearts and even just some schedules for that week, that you'd raise up some students who just say, okay, I'm going to be willing to go here a little bit more. God, I pray that there'd be some students here that you'd be dealing with on a way more serious level than just what they're going to do with that week, but what they're going to do with their lives. God, I pray that you would have the authority this morning to interrupt degrees and agendas and relationships and anything that doesn't fall in line with your purposes on the planet. And would you raise up laborers from this room to go to some of the hardest countries on the planet and not look back? God, would you protect these students from defaulting into the American lie, the American dream? God, that they wouldn't waste their lives being successful at the wrong things in life. And would you raise up an army of people that would wrestle with you in prayer that would live simple lifestyles to free up resources for the kingdom. And God, some that would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Would you do that for your glory, that it might fill the earth as the waters cover the sea? We pray those things in your Son's name. Amen. You're dismissed.